Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. But first, here's his message, The Love of God.
Theme of the Bible, the theme of the entire created order, things seen and unseen, is the great love of God. God is love. That's what the scripture says in 1 John 4, verse 8, and also in verse 16. It simply says, God is love. Not that he has love or even gives love, though he does, but rather, God is love. His very nature is to love because that is who he is. And again, that's the theme of all the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some people make the mistake in saying, well, I believe in a God of love as told to us in the New Testament as compared to that strong, holy God of the Old Testament. Well, the Old Testament speaks of the love of God. And throughout the pages of the Bible, we see that God is love. In Psalm 136, just as an example, every verse in that great psalm says, his loving kindness is eternal. The prophet said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, quoting the heart of God. Psalm 63, verse 3, David said, thy loving kindness, O Lord, is better than life itself is the love of God. But of course, when we move to the New Testament record, we see love incarnate, love with legs on it, with Jesus Christ came to live among us and to demonstrate and to show us the love of God. And that's why we have the scriptures. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God forever and fully demonstrated his love toward us. And Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in John, 1 John 4, 9 and 10, but this, or by this, the love of God was manifested to us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It is difficult for us to comprehend, impossible in the human sense for us to understand the love of God. We will never fully understand the love of God until we get to heaven. And then it will take all eternity, lost in wonder, praise, and adoration, for us to totally grasp it. It is the love of God. We know that God's love is extravagant, that God's love is at times seemingly illogical, that God's love is eager and excessive, outrageous and unrestrained. It is pure, it is personal, it is powerful. God is love. God loves the whole world. The scripture is clear on that subject. And he offers his love to everyone and to anyone. But the highest expression of his love is given to those who respond to his love and receive his grace and trust in his Son. And to those of us who have been saved, to those of us who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and have received the grace of God, we spend our days passionate about the love of God, living it, loving it, sharing it. Paul spoke in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 of the impossible attempt to measure the love of God. He said, I pray that you will comprehend this love of Christ, its height, its width, its depth, its length. Can you imagine trying to measure the love of God? How broad is the love of God? He said that we would understand its breadth, its width. How wide is the love of God? Well, the love of God reaches around the globe. It encircles all people. It reaches all the way around the universe, and it includes every person, past, present, and future, every race, every color, every creed, and the love of God reaches out as wide as the crossbar that includes the whole world. How long is the love of God? He said we are to attempt to measure the length of the love of God. How long is it? Well, the love of God is as long as eternity past, because God loved us before time began. In eternity past, God set his affection upon us and desired fellowship with his creation. He loved us, and the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was slain before the foundation of the world. He loved us. In fact, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, he chose us before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ. So it reaches to eternity past, and then it stretches to now and into eternity future. As the saints of the ages, all of creation in eternity future around the throne of God will worship him for his great love. It reaches from eternity to eternity. That is how long the love of God is. But he said not only its width and its length, but he said the depth of the love of God. How deep is the love of God? Well, it is deep enough to reach the lowest hell. It is deep enough to come to us at the lowest point of our lives, to reach us at the deepest portion of our need. It reaches the vilest sinner. It reaches deep down into the hearts of human beings like you and me. That's how deep the love of God is. And how about the height? Paul said that we would comprehend and understand the height of the love of God. How high is the love of God? It is as wide to cover the entire earth and all that is in it. It is deep enough to reach the lowest hell. It is long enough to reach into eternity present and eternity past and eternity future. And it is high enough to exalt us into his very presence, because God takes us and lifts us by his love. And the songwriter said, love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, but love lifted me. And we are now lifted, and we are at the right hand of the Father, enjoying fellowship with God Almighty because of his great love. Its width, its length, its depth, its height. God is love. So many are asking, what is God really like? And of course, so many have a phony or a false idea of who God is and what he's like. Some ask, is he an angry cosmic bully who just enjoys making us miserable? Is God a cruel, harsh tyrant, a judge who can't wait to throw the book at us and send us all to hell? Or on the other extreme, is God a kindly, aged, benevolent, benign grandfather who sort of just dotes over his creation but is powerless to direct what he has created? Is God some disengaged, disinterested deity who has bigger and better things to do than to fool around with you or me? Is that what God is like? Who is God? Well, none of these ideas even come close. A lot of people are confused about who he is. The love of God is lavished on people like you and me. Maybe you're thinking right now, come on, Jack, God doesn't even know I exist. How could God know me? How could God love me, especially if he knew me? Yet the Bible says in Psalm 40 and verse 5 that his thoughts toward us are innumerable. And the prophet Jeremiah says his thoughts towards us are not to hurt us, not to harm us, but to give us a future and a hope. He loves you. He believes in you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He knows you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. And you're always in his thoughts and in his affections. You say, well, I can believe that God loves me when I do well and when I live the way I'm supposed to live. But how could God love me when I fail? Now, this is very important for us to understand concerning the love of God. God's love is always undeserved and unconditional. Human love may be based upon conditions or circumstances. Human love certainly can fail. Human love is often based upon merit or performance. If If you do something for me, I love you back. But God's love is always undeserved. It is never based upon human merit or achievement. It is not contingent upon our lifestyles. And He loves you when you soar spiritually, and He loves you when you crash and burn. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more than He loves you right now. And there's nothing that you can do that would cause God to love you less than He loves you right now. God loves you. You say, how is this possible? Because of the nature of God. He is love.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Love of God. Right now, it feels a bit like our world is coming apart at the seams. And as believers in Christ, it's critical we clearly represent a biblical worldview to a watching world and bring the healing and hope that's so desperately needed. We want to equip you to provide the answers our world is asking for by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. It's our thanks for your gift today to help take the healing power of the gospel to more people around the world. So please call today to give and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, the love of God.
When Jesus spoke of God, He often told stories about who God is and what God is like. And the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke contains three of these stories. And I would invite you to turn with me there to the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And here we hear our Lord giving us a portrait of God. Perhaps no other scripture gives us a more compelling or amazing description of what God is like than Luke chapter 15. There are three parables there, but the one we know perhaps the best is the parable known as the prodigal son. As the son is on his way home after wasting his substance and wasting his life, he's lived in a pig pen, and he comes to himself and he is on his way home down the road back to the father's house. And verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I love that. What a picture of God Almighty. What a picture of God the Father. I like the way Phillips translates that last phrase. It says, his father's heart went out to him. While he was yet a long way off. This is not a father who can't wait to punish his sinful son. This is not a father who has written that boy off as wasted and worthless. But here is a loving, caring father who cannot wait to embrace his son and to welcome him home. And so he leaves the house, and the father runs down the road to meet his son and to embrace him and bring him on in. I see a father here whose love is aggressive, whose love is eager and excessive. And when this rebellious prodigal came home, this prodigal sinner came back home, he met the prodigal, lavish love of the father back at the father's house. You see, that is the love of God. His love is approachable. His love is aggressive. His love is abundant. When we see God in Scripture, when we see and meet God in our lives, we recognize that His love is unrestrained affection and unconditional acceptance. This father doesn't hold back his emotions toward his child. And neither does God withhold his love from us when he was far away. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We were way down the road apart from God. But God did not passively sit in heaven in his holiness and allow us to die in our wasted lifestyle. But rather, God left the glory of heaven, and in his perfect holiness and purity and in his love, he came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He touched us, and by his cross, he died. You say, how can a holy God be a loving God and accept those into his family who have rebelled against him? God, holy God, in Jesus Christ, by his love, dying for our sins and took our place upon the cross, and the cruel judgment against sin fell upon Jesus Christ, God incarnate, and love in Jesus Christ paid the price and the penalty for our sin. And by the power of his resurrection, we now can know his grace and his love. We who were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. He came to us. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. And when we came to God, we didn't find God with folded arms, nor did we find God holding up a hand of resistance. But we fell into the grip of grace. We fell into the everlasting arms of love. He took us in and he ran to us. It was considered in the ancient world undignified for an older man to run. But here is a picture of God chasing down his boy. And the word given to us here in verse 20 says he had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the verb used here in the language of the New Testament means he kissed him again and again and again and again. Can you imagine that scene? If you've ever had a rebellious child come home, you certainly must relate to this. Now, let me remind you, this boy had been in the far country. He'd been in a lot of trouble over there. He had ended up in a pig pen, and he still smelled like a pig pen. And he must have smelled to high heaven. But when the father ran to him, he didn't say, take a bath, clean up, and then you can get close to me. No. He wrapped him up in his arms, and he kissed him. And he kissed him again, and he loved him repeatedly. He hugged him repeatedly, and he kissed him profusely, just as he was. And that's the way God loves us. That's the way God loves you. Jesus said, you don't have to clean up your life first to follow me. You come to me, and then we'll tend to your life. He cleans the fish after he catches them. Jesus said, the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. You come to him just as you are. Come with your sins. Come with your questions. Come with your fears. Come with your disappointments. Come with your doubts, your problems. Come in your rags. But come to a loving God who will take you and make you his own. Now, I want you to notice something else very important in this story. Verse 22 says that the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Now, this is important. Some people say, well, God loves me just like I am. And that's often used as an excuse and an abuse of the love of God, an excuse for a lifestyle that is disappointing to God and disobedient to God. Well, God loves me just as I am. And that's true. God does love you just as you are. We just said that. But it doesn't end there, you see. Because God loves you so much, He won't leave you where you are. And what happened immediately was the father said, go get the best robe and get this boy out of these rags and put the ring and the sandals and the robe around him. That's a consistent theme of the Bible, especially in the New Testament, where we're told that we're to put off the old life and put on the new life. That God loves us so much that He invests Himself in making us His own and making us like Himself, like Father, like Son. God loves us indeed in spite of our sins, but He loves us so much that He's willing to change us when we come to Him. And just as the Father clothed His Son with a beautiful, clean robe, God clothes us with the beautiful, pure righteousness of His Son. We take off the old life and we put on the new life. So you see, God loves us, and God accepts us, and God forgives us, and God changes us, and He says, I want you to be my own child. And then He places us in His family forever. The father could have said to this boy, son, you have embarrassed me. You have shamed the name of this family. And so what I want you to do is to go live out there in the shed with the hired help. That's not what he said. He put the robe around him and he said, let's have a party. And it was the party to end all parties as they celebrated the return of the son. And there's this boy with the robe and the ring sitting at the table. Cream gravy running down his chin. In the presence of a loving father. God says to us who have come into His family, sit at my table, fellowship with me. All that I have is yours, belongs to you. Not a servant, but your family. You're my family. It would be like knowing that you had no money in your account, that you were stone broke. And you thought maybe you just might go by the ATM machine one more time and try that card again. And you run it through there, and to your amazement, you look and you've got a $10 million balance. We were bankrupt. We were broken. We had absolutely nothing. But God credited the riches of His grace to our account. And now the scripture says, all things are yours in Jesus Christ. God loves you and He wants you to come home to Him. He knows you. He loves you. He receives you. And that perfect love casts out fear. That's what the Bible says, perfect love cast out fear. When I know that I am loved by holy God, when I know that I am loved by a perfect love, then I can face all the challenges and demands of life with confidence and faith. Paul said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Not death, disease, distance, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. You are love.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Love of God. A lot of Christians are asking right now, what can I do to help turn our culture around? The answer is you can bring the healing power of the gospel into the public square. And we want to help you do that by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise, as thanks for your gift today. You'll discover what God's Word says about issues like the sanctity of human life, evolution, and other big topics facing our culture today, so you can be equipped to be a loving influencer for Christ. So call now and give to help mend our broken culture with the gospel and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
The story of the prodigal son is one of the most dramatic pictures of God's love in all of the Bible. I love how Luke 15:20 says he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran, embracing him and kissing him. What a picture of Almighty God. What a picture of God our Father. I really like the way Phillips renders the last phrase of that verse. It says, his father's heart went out to him while he was yet a long way off. This is not a father who can't wait to punish his sinful son. This is not a father who has written that boy off as wasted and worthless. This is a loving, caring father who cannot wait to embrace his son and welcome him home. So the father leaves the house, runs down the road to meet his son, embracing him and bringing him in. What I hope you see here is the picture of God our Father and his great love for you. It is an aggressive love, a love that is eager and excessive. It is a prodigal love. His love is approachable and his love is abundant. The prodigal son's father didn't hold back his emotions with his child, and neither does God ever withhold his love from you.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Jack Graham's book, CultureWise, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, next time, Dr. Graham brings a message about why you can trust in God's unwavering promises. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.